This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3699 for Thursday, the 6th of October, 2022. Today's show is entitled Old and New Video Games and Board Games with Guest Bin or C. It is hosted by Celeste and is about 43 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, we will dive into our favorite games or others with interesting mechanics.
No one thought that I would have a new episode, maybe neither I, but we have a special guest today. You know him from other podcasts on HPR. He is BinRC. He recorded some episode about Plan 9 and one about how I got into computing. So welcome.
Hello.
So for today, we decided to talk about our favorite games. Just that. And I think we might find maybe little games that are curious to look at.
Yeah, I think a games episode is easy to record and easy to listen to. It doesn't really require a lot of preliminary note-taking and research, and I can still talk for about 5 hours on games without having to write a small novel of notes for it, you know, just include links maybe.
Well, you can even talk for hours about Plan 9 without notes, so I'm pretty sure that
we'll be fine.
This episode will be really long.
Yeah, notes are for the audience anyway.
Okay, let's start with you. What is your favorite genre about games? And
my favorite genre of games.
Yeah, and then one or two examples about that.
Two examples. So you can open my Steam library here and look through it. Lots of shooters. Lots of roguelikes and roguelites. And it games with like some RPG elements, but not too heavy. I don't like the type of gameplay where it's like get the thing to get the thing to get the thing to get the thing to progress the story. I guess like arena shooters with a little bit of story are games that I like a lot. It's kind of a weird thing to say. And also roguelites are like the command line rogue game, except the more times you play through, you unlock more things. That's why it's a roguelite. And then RPG games I enjoy.
For people who don't know, roguelike games are a type of games where you have just random dungeons with many layers, and you have to explore every map and progress to the new one, and everything is generated every time different.
Yeah, it's typically randomly generated. Although not always, and not all of them are dungeon crawlers. It's really the gameplay mm-hmm. loop is you have a randomly generated thing before you, and that random generation either makes it a really easy playthrough or a really hard playthrough, and different things you unlock as you traverse through the levels will either help or hinder you. Mm-hmm. And the roguelite aspect is kind of interesting because sometimes in different roguelites you will have like items persist. So if you like complete it, you'll get a special item that persists across, or like game mode modifiers, things like that.
You just made me remember a similar game, which is a mix of roguelike mechanics with rhythm games. So one aspect in roguelike games is that everything is turn-based. So the whole world stops, you decide what to do, and then you do a move, and then the whole game progresses. So there is a game, an indie game, called Crypt of the NecroDancer. You can find it on Steam and I guess other platforms too. So they mixed those aspects, and it's still turn-based, but each turn progresses at each music beat automatically, and you can only move in time following the beat. Some people even play that with a dance pad.
I think you told me about playing this game with a dance pad. I just didn't. I just looked at it, and it must have been early release or something. And I said, early release game for playing on Linux. Either it will work now and won't work in the future, or it will always work, or it will be unreliable the whole time through.
Well, for me, actually, it always worked, so I'm quite happy. Even on the laptop, it works fine.
Yeah, Steam plays really good, I think. I've only had a few games be problematic with Steam Play on Linux.
Yeah, also, they recently added the Proton compatibility layer, which is based on Wine, and lets you play Windows games on Linux machines. Clearly, they did it and they funded it for aiming at their Steam Deck platform, which is based on Linux too. So they had to find a way to instantly make most of their games compatible with Linux.
I think a lot of it is too, you know, Microsoft is buying up all of these game companies, and as a business decision, it makes sense to make anti-Microsoft moves when your competitor is buying up all of the gaming companies and building games that are deliberately very difficult to run on a non-Windows operating system. And, you know, even like difficult to port to consoles, right? Like Xbox and PC exclusives. Things that you couldn't port to a PlayStation or play on any other platform.
Yeah, there is an antitrust debate between Sony and Microsoft now, but that's just company versus company fight. But we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it plays out.
Okay, so yeah, I really suggest to play Crypt of the NecroDancer. It's not that long, but it's a great mix. And one cool thing, trivia about this game, is that Nintendo found it and they asked the original developers to create a Zelda-themed, licensed game with the same mechanic. I can't remember the name. Cadence of Hyrule.
So it's just like a Nintendo-themed version of the game.
Exactly, exactly. And they added a bit of the Zelda gameplay, so you have little dungeons. You have an overworld to explore, and the little dungeons. Yeah, exactly, a Zelda-themed one. Okay, so I see many games in your Steam library.
Yeah. Do you want to go through them?
Maybe not all of them, because
I'll go through the good ones. Okay, so I've been playing.
Take the best recent one and the best old one.
The best. Okay, I'm gonna have to pick a few. So the game I was playing earlier today, Fallout 3 on Linux. That's somewhat difficult to get running. The like Game of the Year edition wouldn't run, but for some reason the regular one runs. It's mostly reliable, but as with all Windows games that are old, they randomly crash.
I was talking about the publishing date, not about when you
publishing play date.
Yeah, but as you wish.
As I
just
wish.
Just to see some new games and some retro gaming.
I don't think that I can sort by publisher date. Other games I like, Team Fortress 2. Let's go through the old games. So this will be the old game section. Deus Ex, I really enjoyed playing Deus Ex. If you've never played Deus Ex, it's almost like a stealth game, although as soon as you unlock the laser sword, it becomes a stealth followed by kill all the enemies as fast as you can game. Of course...
Just for the audience, what is the game about?
Deus Ex.
For the audience.
It's difficult to describe. it's like a stealth shooter. In the future, people have like cyborg modifications. You go through the game, you have to complete various missions, sort of finding the cure for the Great Death. The plot is difficult to describe, but gameplay wise, it's really just a stealth shooter.
Okay.
And then Half-Life 1 and 2, of course. And then let's look at my non-Steam games.
I know one.
RuneScape, of course. Old school RuneScape. Quake.
How was the song called?
Sea Shanty 2.
Sea Shanty 2, yeah.
I'm not sure the royalties on that, but it that could be a thing we put in the episode.
I don't know.
So we'll
have to check. This music is cursing me because when I remember it, it starts playing all the time in my head. So yep.
We could at least link it in the show notes.
Okay.
So of course, Quake is a fun game. Doom, I believe I have Blood installed also. Quake 2. Quake 2 is not really a Quake game, but I like it anyway. Yeah, and now we can talk about, I guess, newer games other than old shooter games.
As you wish, maybe I can go with the old games now.
Yeah, you can go with your old games.
Okay. For me, about the old games, I mainly play on emulators, especially the Nintendo 64 games. One of the best game I've played of old games is Banjo-Kazooie for Nintendo 64. It's a 3D platform. It's one of the very first free roaming platforms, because unlike Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation, which where the 3D was a fake, you still it did use polygons, but it was almost a 2D game on fixed rails. Whereas Mario 64 and Banjo-Kazooie they give you a giant world to explore. I mean, giant for the capability of the platform, but that's fine because they you have to check a word, dispersivo. Dispersive, okay, it exists. They are not dispersive because you can explore, but the world is small enough to fill it with secrets and puzzles.
Yeah, it's not like something like Fallout 3, where the gameplay loop is wander for an hour and then kill a few enemies and then wander for an hour looking for secrets, right?
Yeah, one of the problems of recent open world games is that they are empty, or they are they have are full of useless missions just to fill in some content. And also recent open world game, they have a storyline problem where they give you a non-linear gameplay where you can go wherever you want, but the storyline is still completely fixed. You just have to go from point A to point B, from point B to point C, with no choice.
Yeah, so I actually...
The storyline feels so linear.
It feels almost forced, right? Like, if you take a certain action before another action, it just jumps to a different note on the dialogue tree. And I actually did, I guess, break the Fallout 3 storyline in that way. I sort of completed the first main mission completely at random, and now I'm going back and filling in all of these, like, preliminary quests to get experience points to proceed to the next one, because my character is really underpowered. It breaks continuity when you allow for that and don't sort of program in, I guess, a softer storyline, not something so heavy-handed.
Yeah, that's really difficult, as I said, because on one hand, it doesn't have to feel linear, so you don't have to force the player to go from in exact sequence of events. But on the other hand, the possible endings, they increase so much in number that it becomes not manageable if you let the player do too many choices. What they did in the latest Zelda game is that they splitted the events across the land. And these events, these videos, they only gave you more insight into the story, but you are not mandated to find them, and there isn't an exact order to do to find them. You are really free to.
I think a non open world game where the story evolves based on player choice. Deus Ex again. Deus Ex is a game all about choices. So, for example, there's a part where your brother gets ambushed in his house by, like, federal agents. And if you stay and fight all the federal agents, your brother's with you for the rest of the story, right? It's a hard fork in the story tree. But if you leave your brother, he dies and he's not in there for the rest of the story. So you can get slightly different endings, but the main storyline still persists. And, you know, although you take actions that change the storyline, they're not... you aren't sort of under the impression that any action you take might break continuity.
Mm-hmm. Another game similar where you have to do many choices all the time is Life is Strange. Have you ever played it?
Someone told me to play it. I think I may or may not have installed it, and it didn't run very well. I think I actually tried to play it on my ThinkPad X220 because, you know, you read the hardware requirements. Hey, that's my ThinkPad X220. Turns out, no, you need a big GPU. But
yeah, it's pretty heavy.
I think
my laptop stuttered a bit, and my desktop works fine. But yeah, it's pretty heavy. Maybe it's the Linux port. I don't know.
I think there is a little bit of performance decrease playing through sort of like Steam Play on Linux. Mm-hmm. But it's not noticeable if the game is well optimized, right? So, like, if the game is well optimized, it will play just fine. You won't even notice a difference. But the game is poorly optimized. You know, it doesn't really run well on Windows, really. and then we try to play it through a compatibility layer, and all of the problems on Windows are only amplified through Steam Play on Linux. You know, my example of this is
what a nightmare.
Is something like BioShock. You know, BioShock is a buggy game. You know, Fallout 3 is a buggy game. Even on Windows, they randomly crash, and then you play them through Steam Play on Linux, and the frequency of random crashes just seems to increase exponentially.
I was talking, yeah, I forgot to finish the sentence. What I like about Banjo-Kazooie is that it aged well. And that's not easy to do. Many old games that suffer from the old age. Maybe you have really old mechanics. For instance, DuckTales and other games like that have a lot of influence from arcade machines of that time. And in arcade machines, you had random obstacles you cannot really avoid. Random enemies spawning next to you, so you cannot really avoid them. Because in arcade games, you have to make the player play again and play again and play again and play again to get more coins.
Yeah, the gameplay loop is allow the player to play long enough to want to keep playing, but not long enough to where they complete the game. So you have to add some randomization to end the game prematurely.
Exactly. So some of the NES games from the late 80s suffer from that influence from the arcade games. But really, in Banjo-Kazooie, the difficulty level is very well tuned.
So I think that's sort of prematurely ending a player's game. That's also something you see in rogue type games, right? Because it's purely random, and you might have a very difficult boss on the first floor of the dungeon. Although if the game is well optimized and sort of designed around progression rather than getting money, you know, you might have an unwinnable game, but most of the time it's not an unwinnable game, unlike an arcade machine.
Okay, new games.
New games.
New game.
Let's see. This time we're gonna start with the games I have not installed in Steam. Endless Sky. That's a Linux game. Endless Sky is really—it's a fun game.
I don't know what it is.
Endless Sky. It's a classic Linux game. Are we gonna mention Super Tuxcart here too?
Maybe. I'm a big fan of Super Tuxcart.
Yeah, and Endless Sky is a game you fly a spaceship around. It's like a 3D space trader game almost, and. It's open source. It runs on Linux quite well, and the story is very good. I didn't expect to sort of become invested in the storyline, but I ended up becoming invested in the storyline when I was playing it. I thought it was just sort of like a space trader simulator where there's not a whole lot of story, but you know, I became very invested in the story.
Very cool. Never heard of it. Really, never heard of it.
I'm surprised. It's one of the classics.
Well, if we are talking about classic Linux games, I will say Power Manga, which is a arcade-style spaceship shooter in 2D.
I think X-Bill. Did you ever play X-Bill?
Poor Bill Gates.
Yeah.
For the audience who doesn't know it, shall we explain what XBL is?
I might have it installed.
An example of the hatred of the Linux community against the poor Bill Gates.
Well, you know, you only do... Oh, that's cool. It is in the Fedora repos.
So, yeah...
So, I will play it real quick and sort of narrate.
Okay.
game.
Poor Bill Gates.
New game. So basically, XBuild, you have to. Bill Gates tries to install Windows on various Unix systems, and as he comes to these various Unix systems, you have to click on him to turn him into a puddle of guts. And when you let him get to a Linux system, if he installs Windows on one of these Linux or Unix systems, it will create like a network effect, and then it will infect the other systems connected to it.
Exactly. Literally as a spyware.
It's quite literally spyware, but... can I warp to level 99? Yeah, so level 99, Bill Gates comes running in. Examples of the Unix systems, you know, like old Macintosh, Linux, Next, Silicon, SGI, that one. Solaris, BSD, even
No Plan 9.
No Plan 9, but
we have to make a GitHub, Git issue. And,
we'll mod.
Or just fork XBuild.
Yeah, we'll fork XBuild, call it XStallman, and Richard Stallman tries to install GNU on all of the non-GNU Unixes. I don't want GNU on Plan 9, and you have to squash Richard Stallman. Maybe a parody game, I don't know. He's not a... I don't know. That was just a fun idea I thought of. Right, because, you know, viral GPL.
Actually, maybe one time I will tell about the time I met Stallman.
Did he ask to borrow your phone?
No. He did it at a friend of mine, but maybe for a next episode.
New games. I'm almost done.
Or maybe
with new games.
Say a game where you really was you were surprised by a very smart gameplay mechanics.
A game that I was surprised by gameplay mechanics.
Yeah.
New games where I was surprised by mechanics. Okay, so there's a game called...
Even old games.
So a lot of the arena-type shooters I play are pretty predictable, although Half-Life 2 has a lot of novel mechanics, and you can see a lot of newer shooters taking inspiration from Half-Life 2. Half-Life 2, the gameplay is fairly fluid. It almost feels like an arena shooter, but... sort of the gravity gun mechanics are kind of interesting. But the game that surprised me most with gameplay mechanics is a game called Cruelty Squad. I believe this is a Godot game, actually. But Cruelty Squad is a game, it's almost takes inspiration from these old shooters. But okay. You know, it's in the name Cruelty Squad. It's a very difficult name, and right off the bat, you're sort of punished, and every action you take is punishing, and it's difficult, and your player dies very easily, and there's like a stock market mechanic, so how you make money is by putting your money into the stock market. And there's also like a fish...
What is it about? I see it's very colorful and very, cruelty, very crazy.
Cruelty Squad is hard to describe. Imagine like the gore levels from like Doom 3 combined with like a vaporwave aesthetic combined with like a lot of other things. I'm going to start the game and see if it gives me a better gauge on how to describe it.
I guess your laptop will just crash.
Yeah, it's just going to crash. Goodbye.
Well, if the laptop crashes, thanks for listening.
We'll be able to patch
see
it
you in the next episode.
So Cruelty Squad's a very colorful game. Just the mechanics are so strange. Like the entire the entire idea behind the game is to make the player uncomfortable with the idea of playing the game, right? It's some of the mechanics are familiar, but like the reload mechanic, instead of just pushing R to reload the gun, you have to hold right click and drag your mouse down and then up, right? Even that mechanic is so strange. A lot of the mechanics are really strange and unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and I think it's really surprising to play just because of how difficult it is to get used to it.
Is it that difficulty made for a reason, for a maybe storyline reason, or is it just bad interface design?
The bad interface design is intentional. The whole design behind the game is to make it difficult to play, right, from a controls perspective, and to alienate the user from the concept of playing a game. So it's really refreshing, although somewhat frustrating, until you sort of get used to it, and then it becomes quite fun to play.
Okay, so we have a very good suggestions for everyone listening.
Yeah, we can put a list,
and you can find it on Steam too.
I think a lot of these are on GOG too.
Okay, maybe for people who don't know it, GOG is a platform similar to Steam where you can buy games, but they are DRM free. DRM free, so you can get the full executable of the game without restriction and without having to log in just to play your game and similar.
Yeah, I typically just use Steam, although I have a few GOG games floating around, but I typically just use Steam because of the community, and Steam Play on Linux makes it really easy to run games that are not officially supported on Linux.
Okay, well, for me, instead, a cool gameplay I found, I really enjoy when developers experiment with new local multiplayer ideas. I like the concept of making people play together instead of making people play with the screen. So, you know, when you are playing with some friends and everyone is watching the TV in order to interact, but there are some video games where you need to interact with your peers directly, face to face. And one of these is a very strange party game for Wii U. It's called Spin the Bottle Bumpy's Party, and they really use every possible sensor, every available sensor on the console to make the group of friends interact. And another one, I guess it is from the same developers, or I'm not quite sure, it's called Affordable Space Adventures, and it's interesting because it pushes strongly for the concept of asymmetric multiplayer, which is multiplayer where each player has a different goal, has a different controls, has different tools to interact with the game. So you have to control a spaceship all together as you were I don't know the term, as a crew. So one is driving only the direction, one is driving only the activation of the engines, one is driving only the light sensors, and you split the tasks between the players, and you are forced to collaborate to succeed. You are forced to interact and talk to the other people in the room to succeed.
I think I like the idea of games like that, although I don't play many of them, because it's almost like a digital version of a cooperative board game. if you've ever played a board game where sort of the win condition is cooperation, rather than beating the other players. That's what a lot of those games feel like, and they're really fun to play with friends, because at the end of it, nobody loses, right? They're also the only types of games you can play with people who get mad and sort of flip the table when they start to lose. And, you know, throw controllers when they start to lose. But I don't try to surround myself with those types of people. They're not very fun to play with.
But I think you mixed up cooperative multiplayer and asymmetric multiplayer. Cooperative multiplayer is the one where you have to collaborate with the other players, but maybe you can do you have the same tools, you have the same ways to interact with the game. It just means that you have to cooperate to succeed. Whereas asymmetric multiplayer means that every player has different available actions in different times of the game.
I don't think I've ever played an isometric board game. I don't know if those probably exist, but
I will need to think about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange concept to think about, sort of digitalizing these sort of game mechanics. But even like children's board games, like cooperative children's board games, those are kind of an interesting way of thinking about playing games, because, you know, it's sort of designed to make siblings not fight each other. But, you know, playing it as an adult, there's a lot of interesting game mechanics that you haven't seen before. I don't have my game shelf next to me. I don't play a lot of board games anymore, but
I started playing board games again because we have a local pub where they have board games. So if you pay more than €5, you can play for hours.
Yeah,
hours and hours. Every available game they have. One of them isn't have video games.
But we have a couple.
We mostly go them with. We go them for board games.
We have a couple local game stores. They do, like, you can just go in and play games. I don't go to those. The types of people who are there are not typically the types of people I enjoy being around. You know, a lot of people who are kind of really hell-bent on winning. And it's not really a relaxed environment, you know, people playing like Warhammer really seriously.
Oh, no.
And getting out their rulers, and you try to ask them a question about the game, and, you know, they're like, why don't you know this? It's like, I've never played this game before. I don't. As far as I can tell, you guys are just playing with action figures. I'm trying to learn. The math stuff looks like something I'd be interested in. Similarly, other card games.
I guess we are going a bit off topic.
That's okay. It's just a game show.
Maybe we can, we can use this as a second episode.
Or we'll just put it all together.
Anyway, you were talking about Warhammer.
I've never played it. I know of it. All I know is you have like a ruler and a protractor or something, and you do math. I don't go to game stores very often. Sometimes they'll have interesting games there. But typically the types of board games I find myself buying are more like, almost like I said, children's board games. Largely because they all have an interesting mechanic. I actually might go raid my board game shelf and just talk about some of those games.
Okay.
So I'll be back.
He's going away. The guest went away. And no, really, I'm serious. He left the room to see the games. And
While I was gone, all of the personal information was shared. My privacy was violated, perhaps. I will
never know until the publishing of the show.
Yeah, I will live in fear till that day. So the first game I have is a game called Labyrinth from Ravensburger. This is a children's game. It's tile-based, strategy-based. It's really fun.
Is it the one where you push one tile on one side, and then it...
Yep, you move the tiles.
Yeah, I know that.
To get to the goal, it's quite a fun game. And
very simple but cool. Yeah,
it's quite simple. I grabbed three. I'm only going to talk about two. I think I've only played this game once, and then someone got hot glue on the cover. This game is... See, that's the problem. I buy board games and then I only play them once because I have no one to play with. If I have to remember this game... Yeah, so this game is kind of interesting. It's called Tokaido. The win condition... Really, there isn't a win condition, right? You win by moving across the board and back, and you can collect various things for scoring purposes. And you win the game by sort of removing all of the resources you collect along the way, right? So the more resources you get rid of, the more you win. I can't, like, it was years ago I played this game, but I remembered enjoying it a lot. But yeah, sort of, you can buy things to increase your own score, or you can increase your score by not buying things and instead getting rid of your money without anything in return. I remember enjoying it quite a lot. I'll probably have to play it again, but like I said, the issue is not having anybody to play games with. That's always sort of the problem, isn't it? And that's why I mostly play single-player video games now, is because I can have fun and strategize something. Like card games, you know?
Yu-Gi-Oh! No,
Yu-Gi-Oh! This is the Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode. We will now talk about Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! For the next 6 hours.
I have the cards here. Anyway, next episode. Really, next episode. So, thanks for listening, and let's thank our guest, BeanRC, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the nonsensical droning about video games. I think I'll make a list of the games I recommend and send it over before you edit. So then I will also link in like any game board games we talked about in case people want to buy them.
Absolutely. We can put that into the notes.
Yeah, we'll make a link list for the notes. And I might include some I didn't talk about either, just because I think they're fun.
Okay. Thank you, and see you in the next episode.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.